My dearly beloved in Christ, on this sacred night, let us reflect upon the circumstances of the Nativity of our Lord, the humble cave, the rejection by the inhabitants of Bethlehem of Mary and Joseph, and thus their need to seek refuge in the stable cave, the birth of our Lord in the cold of night, in the winter time, the angel appearing to the shepherds. And just reflect for a moment or imagine, if you were a pious Israelite living shortly before the time of our Lord's birth, conscientiously observing the Mosaic law, striving to love and serve God to the best of your ability, and looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. And imagine that it were revealed to you that he was about to be born, and that he was, that this Messiah they had long expected, yearned for, and prayed for, that he was the very Son of God, and that he was about to be born. Imagine what would go through your mind about what you would think the circumstances of his nativity would be. We would think he will be born in a palace. He will be surrounded by courtiers, by the greatest elegance. There would be an honor guard of well-disciplined soldiers to protect him, to provide honor. Who among us would have had the faintest idea that he would have come the way he did come, in humility, in poverty, in simplicity, in helplessness, annihilated? St. Alphonsus, in his wonderful book on the Incarnation, talks about the disparity that from being almighty, he became weak. From being all wealthy, all rich, owning all things, he became the poorest of all, etc. These contrasts. And then we ask ourselves the question, why? Why did our Lord come into the world the way he did? I believe at least one reason, besides giving us an example of rejection of the spirit of the world, not to seek to be attached to the things of this world, that our Lord also wished to disarm us, to remove any fear to approach him. There's nothing intimidating about an infant. There's nothing that puts us off. Just the opposite. We want to embrace. We want to protect. We want to love that child. And our Lord came in this weakness, in this poverty, as though to say to us, don't be afraid to come to me. Recall his words, which he spoke then later in his public life. Come to me, all you that labor and are burdened, and I will refresh you. And then he went on to say, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And truly it is, because he helps us to carry the cross. And yet the devil is very clever. He makes people think that the service of God is extremely difficult, in fact, almost intolerable, beyond human ability to endure, and thus he keeps people back. I think to myself on this blessed night, why is this church not bursting at the seams with the faithful coming to adore our Lord and thank him for coming into this world to redeem us? And the next Mass later on this morning. In other words, why is not everyone here in Post Falls, in Coeur d'Alene, in Hayden, in Spokane, why is everyone not a Catholic? To some degree, it may be due to ignorance, but to a great degree, It is because people do not want to submit to the sweet yoke of this divine infant. They do not want to obey his commandments. They do not want to do his holy will. What about us? Are we generous in loving and serving God? Or do we do it with a bad grace, with reluctance? Our Lord came as an infant because he wants to be loved rather than feared. He wants us to serve him, but he wants us to do so out of love. And so he constrains us. He draws us to himself. He wants our love. He craves our loving service. I was reading in this wonderful book by St. Alphonsus, which I usually mention every year, on the incarnation, birth, and infancy of Jesus Christ. He has some examples, and this is an interesting example that drives home this point, that our Lord wishes to be served out of love, and that when we serve him for love, we give more pleasure to him than the dishonor that's given by hundreds or thousands that don't obey his will. The service of one loving heart consoles him for the blasphemies, the indifference, the outrages that are worked by millions. Let us be among those who love him and serve him from love. So here is just an interesting example that St. Alphonsus gives. It is related in the Flowery Meadow that a devout lady wished to know what souls were the dearest to Jesus. One day, while she was hearing Mass at the elevation of the Sacred Host, she saw the infant Jesus on the altar, and with him three young virgins. Jesus took the first and caressed her very much. He went to the second, and having taken her veil off her face, he struck her severely on the cheek and turned his back upon her. But soon after seeing the child looking sorrowful, he comforted her with all sorts of kindness. At last he approached the third. He seized her by the arm as if he were angry, struck her, and drove her away from him. But the more she saw herself ill-used and driven off, the more the little virgin humbled herself and followed him. And thus the vision ended. This devout woman, remaining in the church with great desire to know what was the meaning of the vision, Jesus appeared to her again and told her that there are on the earth three sorts of souls that love him. Some love him, but their love is so weak that if they are not coaxed by spiritual pleasures, they become uneasy and are in danger of turning their backs upon him. And of these, the first virgin was a figure. The second represented those souls who love him with a less feeble love, but who require to be comforted from time to time. The third was a figure of those more courageous souls who, although constantly desolate and deprived of spiritual consolations, do not cease doing all they can to praise their Lord. And these, he said, were the souls in which he took the greatest delight. So which of the three are we like? Let us strive to be like the third. That when God sends us crosses and trials, we do not complain, we do not get angry or feel sorry for ourselves, but we carry our cross and we do so with love, because love of Jesus makes all things easy. Love of Jesus makes all things sweet. Love of Jesus makes all things meritorious. On this night, let us meditate on his love for us and vow our undying love in return. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.